Good evening. Thank you for coming out. I'm not sure I can remember such a good turnout for all the Good Friday services we've had, and this is the ninth straight year that we've done it, almost nine straight. Let's pray briefly and ask God's blessing. And now, crucified, risen Lord Jesus, come now by your Spirit and make my words compelling, that you would be lifted up in praise and worship, just as you were lifted up on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, today is the day that Christians have traditionally referred to as Good Friday. And yet, if I were a non-Christian or somebody who knew very little about Christianity, my question would be, what's good about it? I mean, this is the day that the founder of your religion was tortured to death, right? On a Roman cross, an innocent man, by all counts, arrested on trumped-up charges made by men who were envious of him, judged by a corrupt politician who was protecting his own interests. Is that what y'all call good? I'm just not sure I see what's particularly good about this. I mean, when the stock market crashed on a Tuesday in 1929, did they call it Good Tuesday? No, they called it Black Tuesday. When 30 Irish protesters were killed on a Sunday in 1972, did they call it Good Sunday? Well, no, they called it Bloody Sunday. That makes sense. So why not Dark Friday? Or Bloody Friday, or Unjust Friday. Why on earth call it Good Friday? Could somebody please explain this? I believe I can. And that's what I'd like to spend the next 15 minutes or so doing. And let me begin by getting just a few things clear. First of all, as Christians, we agree it's not good to execute an innocent man. Amen? Even if you think he's guilty. It's not good, and it's certainly not good to execute an innocent man when you know he's innocent, as the scripture says Pilate did. The Bible is very clear that the human hands that put Jesus on the cross were wicked hands. Acts 2:23 says that he was crucified by the hands of lawless men, and lawlessness is not good. More than that, as Christians, we all agree that death itself is not good. Any death. When God created all things in the beginning and he pronounced it very good, there was no death. Death came in as a result of sin. The Bible actually refers to death as an enemy that God is planning to destroy one day. You might remember what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. You might remember why he was weeping? Death. Somebody he loved had died. And that meant other people whom he loved were devastated. And they were weeping, and that made Jesus cry. We agree. Death in and of itself is not good. So why then do we call it Good Friday? Why do we as Christians look back on the death of Jesus Christ as a good thing? And not just a good thing, but the best thing that ever happened to the world. I'd like to share three reasons, drawn mostly from the four Gospels. Three reasons why the death of Jesus was good. First, because it was the voluntary act of a good God. Because it was the successful end of a good mission. And then finally, because it was followed by a really good sequel. So first, the death of Jesus was good because it was the voluntary act of a good God. When we think of those 2,000 people who died in the World Trade Center on 9/11, the reason we rightly think of them as victims is because they didn't wake up that morning planning to die. They were just going about their business, working their job when they were mowed down and murdered by lawless men. They didn't lay down their lives. Their lives were taken from them. That's not how it was on Good Friday. When Jesus woke up that Friday morning, he did wake up planning to die. It wasn't a surprise. He wasn't blindsided. He volunteered. He wasn't a helpless victim like the people in the World Trade Center or the protesters on Bloody Sunday. He tells us in John chapter 10, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. We see this throughout the Gospels. If it had been up to Jesus' enemies, Good Friday would have happened a lot sooner than it did. There are several times where they try to arrest him, try to stone him. There's even one time where they surrounded him, we're going to throw him off of a cliff. And he's like, not today, guys. And he just walks right through the middle of the lynch mob because in the words of John, his hour had not yet come. That's the difference between Jesus and all the rest of us. It's like he tells his brothers in John 7, my time has not yet come. Your time is always ready. In other words, you could drop dead during this sermon. You could die in a car accident on your way home tonight. We don't know. You have no real control over how you're going to die and absolutely no authority over when. Jesus did. He knew exactly where his road was leading and when it was going to get there, and yet he continued walking down that road voluntarily. Even when those who loved him begged him to take a different road. Y'all remember the night before Good Friday? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter pulls a sword trying to stop the arrest. And Jesus rebukes him and says, put up your sword, Peter. Put up your sword. Don't you know? Don't you realize? I could call 12 legions of angels and put a stop to all this. He could have called in the troops, and he didn't call them. He marched straight into Good Friday voluntarily. And he went to that cross willingly. And when the time came for him to breathe out his last breath, it was in his timing, not in theirs. All of which raises the obvious question, what kind of man is this who has authority over his own death? What kind of man is this who can command 12 legions of angels? And more than that, a kind of man with the authority to forgive sins, Mark 2. Authority to control the weather, Mark 4. Authority to command a legion of demons, Matthew 8. Authority to heal incurable diseases, Matthew 9. Authority to walk on water, John chapter 6. Authority to raise dead people back to life, John chapter 11. This is a man so full of life, so full of power, that he could heal a woman almost unconsciously simply because in faith she had touched the shirt that was touching him. This is a man so full of truth and so full of wisdom that one time the guys who were sent to arrest him come back empty-handed and say, we couldn't do it. No man ever spoke like this man. A man who couldn't even be killed by a mob without his own consent. This is clearly a man who is more than just a man. Amen. He was and he is the Son of the living God. Amen. The second person of the Holy Trinity, equal in power and glory with his heavenly Father. He was and is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who was in the beginning with God and who was God and who became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. His death was always going to be different because he was different. And so we look at his death, and we call it good because it was the voluntary act of a good God. The second, we also look at his death and call it good because it was the successful end of a good mission. On June the 6th, 1944, y'all remember, know what day that was? D-Day. 2,500 American soldiers were killed storming the beaches of Normandy. Some of them drowned getting off the boats. Some of them were mowed down by machine guns. Some of them were blown to pieces by mortar fire. 2,500 American men. And yet, we don't think of those men as victims. Instead, we think of them as heroes. And we think of D-Day as a good day in American history. Why? Well, for one thing, they were fighting for a cause that was good. To liberating Europe from the Nazis. That's a good cause. And for another thing, they did such a good job of it that they actually won the battle. They accomplished the mission that they had been sent out to accomplish. They took Normandy back from the Nazis, and it became a beachhead from which they began taking back all of Europe. In fact, in hindsight, D-Day is viewed as the beginning of the end of the war. It was a hard day, it was a bloody day, but it was a good day. And the same thing is true with Good Friday. Jesus was fighting and dying for a good cause. Or better said, good causes. He was dying to display the love of God for a sinful world. That's good. He was dying to demonstrate the justice of God by paying for sin instead of promoting it or pandering to it. That's good too. And he was dying to liberate both his people and his creation from the Nazi-like rule of the devil. That's good too. And he accomplished all of those goals, not in spite of his death, but through his death. Through it. I mean, the Allies defeated the Nazis on D-Day in spite of the fact that a whole lot of things went wrong. You study D-Day, there was more fog than they expected, so some of the planes went all out of whack. The paratroopers dropped off miles away from their drop zone. Many of the amphibious tanks that were supposed to protect the soldiers from German bullets ended up sinking in the ocean before they ever made the beach. The Allies won, but it was in spite of the fact that a whole lot of things went haywire. But the cross was not the plan going haywire. This was the plan. The disciples didn't understand it. The Jewish leaders didn't understand it. The Romans didn't understand it. It appears even Satan didn't fully understand it. But this was the plan. This was God's plan. So when Jesus breathes out his last breath on the cross, he doesn't cry out, "It's over," or "It's useless," or "I did my best." Instead, he cries out, "It's accomplished. It's finished. I finished the work that I was sent to do." This is why he came. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And when Good Friday was over, the ransom had been paid. He came to crush the head of the serpent and destroy the works of the devil. And when Good Friday was over, the devil had been dealt a head wound from which he is still bleeding out. He came to demonstrate the justice of God and to show that God was not unrighteous to forgive sinners. And when Good Friday was over, all of those angels who had been longing to look into all of these things, they could look down from heaven at the cross and cry out, "That was very good. That was good. What a bold move. What a brilliant idea. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. That was good." We call it Good Friday because it wasn't a defeat. It was a victory. Even on that very day, it was a victory. I mean, just imagine the chaos and confusion among the demonic realm. When Jesus dies and the evil spirits are like, "What just happened? Why were we not briefed on this?" And just imagine the celebration in heaven as all the saints and angels toss their crowns into the air and wave their palm branches and start preparing for the coronation of the new king coming in a few weeks when they welcome Jesus back into heaven and crown him Lord of all. I imagine that's how Good Friday looked in the invisible realm. Meanwhile, on earth, for the disciples at least, Good Friday didn't look so good. Not that day. Because Jesus says they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. All that Jesus had told them. They were slow. So, at the risk of spoiling Sunday's Easter sermon, although 2,000 years in, it's a little late for spoilers here. At the risk of spoiling the Easter sermon, I want to close with one more reason why Jesus' death is good. It was good because it was a voluntary act of a good God. It's good because it was the successful end of a good mission. Finally, it was good because it was followed by a really good sequel. Amen. Good Friday was good that very day, whether they realized it or not. But how much more can we call it good when we know what happens next? I saw a BC comic strip about this. You know, remember BC, that Johnny Hart comic where everybody's a caveman? Remember this one? You should look it up. John Hart was a Christian. He occasionally included Christian themes in his comics, and this was one of those. In this particular comic, there's a little boy and his dad, and they're standing outside of a church building. There's a sign, and on the sign it says, "Good Friday service today." A little boy reads the sign, and he says, "Those sickos. If somebody killed my God on a Friday, I certainly wouldn't call it good." His dad says, "Well, nor should you, my son. Provided, of course, your God were able to stay killed." But, of course, the gospel teaches us that our God is not able to stay killed. Amen. Right? He had the authority to lay it down, and he had the authority to take it up again. Acts 2:24 says, "God loosed the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." It wasn't possible. Death couldn't hold him because death didn't deserve him. It was our sins that he had died for, not his. And the fact that Jesus was released from death's prison is proof that his payment had been accepted. Easter is God's way of assuring us that Good Friday really is good. It's God saying, "That man on the cross is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And his heroic act of sacrifice is infinitely valuable in my eyes. Because he became obedient to death, even death on a cross, therefore I have highly exalted him and given him the name that's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And that, my friends, is good. So, to answer the question posed at the beginning, no, what Pilate did and what Caiaphas did and what Judas did was not good. But what Jesus did was. Amen. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Amen. And the message that God wants you to hear as you think about that Friday is simply this: I no longer have to live as a slave because a ransom has been paid to set me free. I no longer have to perish forever. I can now have eternal life because God has given his only begotten Son. I no longer have to be condemned for my sin because Jesus has borne the condemnation for all who will believe on him. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's what happened that day. And that's why we call it Good Friday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus' willingness to come down from heaven, become flesh, so that he might bear our sins in his body on the tree. Father, is anybody here tonight who has not put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and found fellowship with you through him? Lord, draw them tonight and make this message compelling and beautiful in their eyes, that they might be happy forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.